Bible reading is a bit long. It's on the page 886 in your pew Bibles from John 1, 19 through 51. So buckle up and let's enjoy. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the darkness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." May God bless the reading of his word. I'd like to invite Pastor Pat to come give us a sermon. Come and see.
Good morning, Crossbridge family. So today, as we continue in our new series from the Gospel of John, we will be taking a journey together, and not through just the pages of the Bible, but also a story from a more recent history. Today, we're going to see how encounters with remarkable individuals has the power to reset your course and offer us a new perspective. In John's gospel, we encounter a powerful call, the invitation to come and see. This isn't about curiosity. It's about transformation. It's about moving from doubt to faith, from questions to understanding. As we embrace the reality of Jesus as both Messiah and Son of God. Now, I want to just take a moment and talk a little bit about why I think we have called this sermon series Come and See. Among all the Gospels, John's is perhaps, in my opinion, the most welcoming, inviting anyone and everyone to witness the marvelous signs and experience something significant. This is especially evident in the context of Jesus' ministry and his identity. And we see this welcoming invitation in our sermon text today, and it's echoed in other parts of John's gospel, like as with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 and also later in John chapter 11. It's an invitation that is open to all, regardless of where we are along our faith journey. But let me acknowledge something. Let's be real. That we find this particular invitation difficult to accept. We often overlook or question what's right in front of us, especially when it causes us to question our beliefs or it stretches our comfort zones. This is our common struggle, where our doubts and hesitations, they blind us to the truth and significance of Jesus in our lives. Jesus invites us to come and see so that we can believe and live. This journey from seeing to believing to living is transformative. When we embrace it, we naturally find ourselves wanting to go and tell. It's like breathing in and out. This process of gathering in and sending forth is an essential practice of the gospel for us at Crossbridge. It's how we live out our mission to become bridge builders, connecting our world with the love and grace and truth of Jesus Christ. And to help us appreciate all that, I'm going to have us think about a rather unexpected figure. I want you to think about a young Albert Einstein. And before he became an iconic physicist, and by the way, he was my childhood hero and the very reason why I went off to college to study physics. You see, when he was a young student, he was rather aimless. And so I can identify on that regard as well. But his life took a very important pivotal change, a turn that is reminiscent to the accounts that we read in Scripture. You see, it was Max Talmud, a family friend who entered the picture. You see, in many ways, Talmud played a role that was very similar to John the Baptist. Just as John had led his disciples to Jesus, urging them to see for themselves who Jesus was, Talmud introduced Einstein to the wonders of science and mathematics, opening his eyes to the very theories that were yet to be developed. And here's where our story intersects. And just as John the Baptist led his disciples to come and see Jesus, and then later Max Talmud led Einstein to come and see science and mathematics in a fresh way, we too may find ourselves just one step away from some extraordinary encounter and remarkable transformation. You see, it's about stepping in to a new understanding, a new way of seeing things, guided by those who have gone before us. So Crossbridge, I encourage us to embrace this day by day with a heart ready to both receive and to offer
this life-changing invitation. Let's be eager to say and to hear, come and see. Who knows what cultures we might bridge to build a family in Christ? Let's pray before we continue. Gracious God, open our minds to understand and hearts to embrace the journey from seeing to believing. Guide us in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to dive right in to John chapter 1, verse 19 to 28. And we find ourselves in a part of the Bible that's going to serve us like a map for our spiritual journey. We're going to be focusing first on this invitation to come. Let's start with the scene where John the Baptist meets with the religious leaders. Now, they come up to him and they ask him this basic question, who are you? And this question isn't small talk. It may be a bit of an accusation, but it's what it is. It's pregnant and heavy with the anticipation and weight of hundreds of years of waiting for the Messiah, the one who God promised would come to save us all. John stands there and not claiming to be this promised one, but pointing to someone else who is much greater. John's answer to them is something we should all be thinking about. When they ask, who are you? He says, I am not the Christ. Imagine that. In a world where we seek self-importance and validation, John is saying, no, that's not me. John knows his job. He knows he's not the main guy here, but he's here to prepare people for the main guy, who is Jesus. And then there's this powerful part where John says, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. He's quoting the prophet Isaiah. This is like John connecting the dots for us from what was said long ago to what is happening now. John's not just this random guy in the desert. He's the one Isaiah was talking about, the one who's getting everyone ready for Jesus. So what does that mean for us? Like John, we are also called to be voices where we are, whether it's in the school, in the marketplace, whether it's in our home. It's not about making ourselves famous, but it's about getting people's hearts ready to recognize and receive Jesus. And then the leaders ask John why he's baptizing people if he's neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet that they were expecting. John's answer is amazing in its simplicity and humility. He's baptizing with water, sure, but he's also helping people to get ready in their hearts for something big that is coming. But he says, there's someone coming who is so much greater. He's not even worthy to untie his sandals. This someone, Jesus, will bring a whole new way of understanding, of connecting with God, not just on the outside, but where it counts, on the inside. In all this, John shows us what it means to serve God. He's not after a big title or fame. His whole life is about shining a spotlight on Jesus, not himself. So I want us to consider this question. Can you step out of the shadows of self-importance and, like John, turn the spotlight on Jesus? This is a question I challenge us to embrace. It's a call to action for each of us. So here at CrossRidge, this means that our lives should not be about anyone else except Jesus. We ought to be pointing to Jesus. The way we talk, the way we act, the way that we treat one another, it should all say, look, Jesus is the one who really matters. Let's embrace this mindset. letting our actions and words become this clear reflection of his love and grace. Mother Teresa expressed this humility and purpose. In a 1989 interview with Time magazine, she is famously remembered as saying, "I am like a little pencil in his hand. That is all. He does the thinking. He does the writing. The pencil has nothing to do with it. The pencil only has only to be allowed to be used." Is that our attitude? Our actions and words aren't for our glory, but instruments in God's hands, reflecting his love and grace. So let's take this to heart. Let's be like John in our everyday context, preparing the way for Jesus in the hearts of the people that we meet. This is our come and see moment to show the world who Jesus is and how he changes lives. You see, we're not just talking about this, we're going to live it out. That's our mission, our very joy, and our message as we bridge cultures to build a family in Christ. So let me redirect our attention a little bit, and now let's gather our hearts and minds around this remarkable story that's unfolding right there at the Jordan River. We're transitioning from John the Baptist's bold proclamation to a critical moment. It's right here that Jesus steps into the scene. This isn't just yet another event in the Gospel of John. This perhaps is the most transformative moment in our redemption story. I'd like us to picture John. He's standing right there in the river, and suddenly he stops, and he looks, and there Jesus is approaching him, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Envision that right there in the midst of the everyday, the extraordinary enters. And Paul echoes this right there in 1 Corinthians 5:7, reminding us that Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. You see, the title Lamb of God is not just a name, but a whole story in itself. It's like looking back through a family photo album of faith. You see, in the Jewish tradition, remember that it's the lamb that's at the center of Passover. It was more than an animal. It was a symbol of freedom, of God's rescue from slavery in Egypt. The lamb's blood on those doorposts were a sign of protection and a promise of deliverance. Now fast forward to Jesus. He steps into this picture as the ultimate Passover lamb, fulfilling what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53, verse 7. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." His sacrifice on the cross isn't just about history. It's about you and me, us. It's about our freedom from the very things that tie us down. Our sins, our fears, our failures. Let's not just hear these words. Let's really see what they mean. When John says in verse 34, "And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God," this isn't information. It's not just data. He's opening our eyes to this breathtaking truth. Son of God. This title is a game changer. It's not about the family trees or the royal lineage, though it is all of that. But more so, it's about Jesus being God himself, and God with us. The image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, as we read in Colossians 1:15. When we think about it, we can see it. The same Jesus who walked the dusty roads, who felt hunger and pain, is God's ultimate self-revelation. In Jesus, we see a clear picture of God's heart, his love, his grace, his truth. When we see and we say Jesus is the Son of God, we're saying he is the real deal, the authentic connection to the God above, the divine. Now here is, we can, if you will, let this become personal. This, I challenge you not to treat as a history lesson, but a lesson about life. Seeing Jesus as both the Lamb of God and the Son of God invites us in to a life-changing relationship. It's not about knowing stuff about Jesus. It's about knowing him, letting his life and his love change the way that we live, that we think, and we relate with one another. It's about letting his sacrifice shape who we are and his teachings guide what we do. As he himself says in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Speaking about living this out, I'm thrilled to tell you about our upcoming small group fair. And why am I so excited? It's because following Jesus, understanding him as the Lamb of God and as the Son of God, is something we do together, not alone. In our small groups, we don't just talk about faith, we do life together. We explore, we question, we support, and we grow. It's where our faith becomes more than just beliefs. It becomes our life story. So imagine a place where you can be real about your faith journey, where you can share, learn, and grow in understanding Jesus as the Lamb of God and as the Son of God. And that's what our small groups are all about. They're not just meetings, but I challenge you to consider them as family gatherings. And later on today, you're going to hear an announcement that if you're not currently in a group, there's a way for you to get plugged in to this vital aspect of church life. So Crossbridge, as we reflect on Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, let's open our hearts to that transformative power in the truth. Let's not just see Jesus. Let's live Jesus together. As we step beyond this focus on Jesus as the Lamb of God, we find ourselves now in the part of John's gospel that will yet bring this truth yet closer to home. In verses 35 to 51, the story of Jesus moves from this grand stage of prophecy, perhaps into our living rooms and certainly into our lives. This is where the Bible stops being this book, and it becomes a mirror showing us how we might react when we are faced with Jesus himself. Now, think about that moment the disciples first met Jesus. They had heard John the Baptist call him the Lamb of God, a title filled with deep meaning, resonating with the weight of prophecy and expectation. But now, they're actually meeting Jesus face to face. It's no longer just about titles or these grand theological concepts. It's about the person of Jesus himself standing right in front of them. This change from knowing about Jesus to knowing Jesus is monumental. It's akin to our everyday experience where we might be reading about some distant celebrity, to actually sitting down with them and having a real conversation. C.S. Lewis, in his Christian bestseller, Mere Christianity, captures this profound transition. Quote, God is not a static thing, but a dynamic, pulsating activity, a life, almost a kind of drama, almost, if you will not think me irreverent, a kind of dance. You see, as the disciples stepped into this divine drama, this dance with the living God, their encounter moved beyond the realm of mere knowledge. In this intimate personal interaction, everything they thought they knew about Jesus was about to become more vibrant, more tangible. They weren't just stepping into a conversation. They were entering into a dynamic and life-changing relationship, a dance of faith and revelation that would transform their very identities. Do you have that type of relationship with Jesus? And so now let's look a little bit closer at Andrew and this other disciple that we read about in verses 37 to 42. These disciples don't just hear John's words. They act on him. They follow Jesus, drawn by something that they can't quite articulate. When Andrew meets Jesus, his first thought is to share this experience with his brother Simon. He brings him to Jesus, and in that meeting, Simon becomes Peter. Jesus gives him a new name, a very new identity. This shows us something powerful, that meeting Jesus changes who we are. It's not just a label that we call ourselves Christian. It's about becoming someone new in Christ. Now think about Nathanael. Think about those harsh words of skepticism. What did he say? He said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" But he still comes to see Jesus. And in that meeting, everything changes. Jesus shows that he knows Nathanael. He really knows him. And this breaks through Nathanael's skepticism. He calls Jesus the Son of God, the King of Israel. Nathanael's story shows us the power of a real encounter with Jesus. It can turn skepticism into faith. For Crossbridge, what this means for us, what it means for our youth, for our singles, for our married couples, for our families. Where do we go from here? We can look to what we read in James 1, verse 22. It reminds us, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." It tells us that being a Christian isn't just about knowing things about Jesus. We're really good at knowledge here, aren't we? But it's about knowing Jesus personally. It's about letting our moments with him change us. Like Andrew, we should be excited to share Jesus with others. Not with complicated words, but we can do it very simply. We can invite someone and say, "Come and see." And like Nathanael, we can bring our doubts to Jesus. We can trust that Jesus will turn these doubts into faith. And as we begin to wrap up our time together, let's hold on to this charge Paul gives us. Our journey with Jesus isn't a one-time deal. As Paul tells us in Philippians 3, verses 12 to 14, "Not that I have already obtained this, or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." It's a constant process of getting to know him more and responding to what he shows us. We're invited to see Jesus not as someone from history, but as someone who is active and present right now. in our lives. So as we move towards the end of my message, let's keep our hearts open. Let's be open to the amazing changes that come from really knowing Jesus. Let's be the church that is always ready to see, to follow, and be changed by Jesus day by day. Let's take a moment now as I wrap up to recall the steps that we've walked through today in John's gospel. We began with this call to come, learning from John the Baptist about humility and the importance of the invitation and directing others to Christ. Then our trek led us to this challenge to see, where we encountered the disciples' transformative meetings with Jesus, changing their perception from mere awareness to a profound personal faith. We saw how each meeting with Jesus reshapes us, shifting doubt into discipleship. Our understanding of him evolves from a distant knowledge to a living, breathing relationship. Just as the song Build My Life, which we're about to sing, invites us to declare our trust in Jesus and seek his heart above all, so too does our journey through John's gospel urge us to build our lives upon his love and truth. So Crossbridge, let's revive and renew our commitment to the Lord. Let's abide in Jesus' teaching that we read in Matthew 6:6. When you pray, go into your inner room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Let us immerse ourselves in Scripture. Let's pray with expectation. Let's listen for God's voice, and let's look and see God's work in our lives. Our faith journey, it's dynamic. It's an active daily pursuit of building our lives on the foundation of Christ's teachings. As we prepare to sing Build My Life, let our hearts truly resonate with its message. Let's be inspired to live in a way that reflects Jesus' love, showing his grace in our words and our actions. How many lives can be touched? How many hearts warmed by the very living testimony that we bear of Christ's compassion and his mercy? Our walk with God is indeed a shared experience where we can uplift and encourage one another. This week, let's carry the spirit of come and see, and let's believe, live, and let God work through us to build lives upon that unshakable foundation. Please join me in prayer. O God in heaven, grant us courage to embody your truths and wisdom to discern your presence daily. May we eagerly seek and joyfully guide others to the transforming power of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.